The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Welcome to Up on Taconic, a recurring podcast that explores the world of Taconic High School from students, staffs, school programs, and all the things that happen here each day. All right, welcome to Up on Taconic. Today I'm joined by Avery and Dalton.
Hello.
Hey.
All right, we have quite the show lined up, so I think we should, without further ado, waste no time and get right into it.
This is the moment you've all been waiting for. Media Mayhem!
And welcome back to Media Mayhem. I'm Finn. I'm joined by Max.
Hi.
And today we're going to be discussing the 2018 movie First Man, starring Ryan Gosling.
Yes, this movie. One of my personal favorites. So, this movie, yes, it is based on the only authorized biography of Neil Armstrong, which has his same name, First Man. This movie depicts the Apollo moon landing, the Gemini 8 mission, one of Neil Armstrong's X-15 flight, which is the opener of the movie. So, it depicts a lot of different missions at once. It depicts Neil Armstrong's family life, his work life, all that. Depicts other astronauts' lives. So yeah, there's a lot to this movie. It's a long one, 2 hours and 30 minutes. With it being more modern, only released in 2018, it has great special effects, stuff like that. They actually used an LED screen to film the space scenes, and they used, you know, real props, stuff like that. Like they actually built like real mock spaceships and stuff like that.
And so you actually got me onto this movie because, well, like you said, it's one of your personal favorites. And you were talking about it, so you lent me your DVD version, and
yep,
I watched it. I greatly liked it. One of my top rated on my movie review lists. 9 out of 10. Very, very well detailed, in depth. The camera shots look great. The acting's great.
Yeah. It was filmed in IMAX too, which is a very expensive way of filming, but it definitely gives good effect to the film. If it was just filmed on regular cameras, then I don't think it would have looked that good, obviously. So.
Yeah, it has
it's a great decision.
Has a very like unique feel. It feels like old footage. Like it just like has a little bit of grain in it at certain points, but it's like a good amount to make it feel like it's like from the 50s or 60s.
Yeah, you're right. It really like represents the time period well. Yeah. That's another thing too. I do think this movie did a great job of representing like the time period and stuff like that, like just how life was then. And it really covers all sides. Like I think before they're going to launch, for some, one of the missions, there's even like a protest scene. You remember that?
Yeah, I do. That of like everyone saying like, hey, we don't need to spend all this money trying to go to space. We got to solve all these real world problems before you try to escape our planet.
Yeah, so it does what no other space movie really does, and actually covers like all the emotional sides of it
and all the controversy that it had.
Yeah.
Which I think is very good. It's very real, very just human emotions and qualities right there that are good to actually show instead of just say or not even mention at all.
Yeah. Now, this movie does face a lot of criticism for its inaccurate space scenes, but obviously this is a dramatization of the space missions. You can't really that accurately depict space scenes if you're trying to fit them into a movie. But even though it does have its inaccuracies, I do think the space scenes still provide a very grounded view on how it actually was for the astronauts, like how dangerous, especially how dangerous it was. It really depicted that without all of its shakiness and stuff like that.
Yeah. But another aspect that I would say is the fact that it's a movie mainly focused on more of Neil Armstrong's personal life rather than his work life. I mean, it does heavily cover his work life too, but it also really, the way it does it really shows like how it impacted his own home life and such like that.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of space movies too, they don't, like I said about it covers his family life, they don't normally cover like the experiences of the wives of the astronauts and stuff like that. This movie really, I think, did a good job of that. Good job of portraying Janet Armstrong's life, which Neil Armstrong's wife. She has some great scenes for sure.
Yeah, her actress was really good.
The soundtrack for this movie, I thought the soundtrack was pretty great. One of the most famous examples is the moon landing scene that has a really intense soundtrack to it. And that whole moon landing scene in general, when they finally land and it's just the silence and it's just Neil looking out outside of the windows at the moon, it really, I think the whole movie kind of continues in silence from there. Like it just shows them stepping out. And I think Ryan Gosling even recreated the famous
One Small Step for Man.
Yeah.
I remember that scene. I was like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
But yeah, I was going to also mention that the sound design of how it's like eerily quiet, but it builds suspense just like while they're in space. It's just so perfectly quiet and it's eerie, but it's also so calm.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt about the whole movie, like the way the scenes were filmed. Like it was like calm, but at the same time you could tell something was coming. Like it's a sort of that sort of thing.
Yeah, the buildup is great.
Yeah.
But like specifically like when they're even taken back from space, like the buildup for that, because when they come back, everyone's like, it actually worked, and everyone's like praising him and stuff. They have to like go into quarantine and whatnot because like they didn't know anything about space. They're like, what if they got space diseases?
Yeah, they had to quarantine the astronauts. Yeah, it's very cool to see a movie like this, because a movie like this is very rare. There's a few other realistic space movies. Another notable one being Apollo 13. That one I definitely think is just has a little bit less of a suspenseful feel to it sometimes. I mean, obviously the Apollo 13 mission is when the astronauts were going to land on the moon, but they got stuck in space. So that movie sort of focuses on them having to deal with that and come back. But that movie doesn't necessarily dive deep into like the lives of the astronauts. That one sort of just covers that mission, and it does a very, very good job on it. That movie is definitely one for the books. But this one, I feel, is more of a real watch if you're into, like, the emotional scenes, yeah, and stuff like that.
And I would also say that this one, like, other space movies or just movies in general like that, I feel like more like just, like, well, movies about a historical event. This is more like a biopic about a specific person.
Yes.
And just the way that it's framed like that, it makes me enjoy it a lot because I'm a big fan of biopics.
Yeah. I definitely think, like, the space scenes weren't the main focus, but they still were done excellently. They still really added to the movie, and it gave it, it allowed it to have, like, it allowed the plot to have more substance to it, and it allowed it to have, like, a real ending and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But a lot of the movie takes place on Earth.
Yeah. And, like, it's a lot of, like, how they actually prepared to go to space and, like, test flights and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And, well, Neil Armstrong's home life, which, honestly, were probably some of my favorite scenes because, well, the space scenes are cool and all. I like seeing, like, the emotion and, like, I like seeing the actors because they were really, they did really well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was First Man.
Yes.
Overall, I think it's a really good movie. Like, great if you love biopics, great if you like space movies. Just great in general. I mean, either way, the acting is great. Watch it.
Yeah. It did win an Oscar, too. So, it didn't perform well at the box office. A lot of people didn't like it when it first released, but now people are sort of, especially people who like IMAX, definitely now appreciate it for what it is.
I also think one of those reasons that it wasn't that well received is because no one really knew what it was. Like, was it a biopic? Was it just a historical movie about a certain moment? Well, like, people maybe didn't know it was more about Neil Armstrong's personal life rather than the space stuff.
Yeah. And this movie too, it's not that expensive. You can get a 4K version, a 4K 1080p Blu-ray and digital for only $15. I think that's a pretty good deal.
Or you could, like, just find it on streaming.
Or just find it on streaming services, rent it, anything like that. There's multiple ways to get it. I think either way is great.
Yeah. If you're a fan of movies, whatnot, I would just say watch it because I love movies, all sorts of them. I really enjoyed it.
If you're a fan of really, like, impactful movies, like movies that'll make you feel something,
oh yeah,
this is definitely one to watch.
Yeah, definitely. That's it. If you're interested, give it a watch, and we hope that you do, and we hope that you like it. Personally, I rate it a 9 out of 10 on my scoring. I don't remember what IMDb rated it or any other
sites. I think Rotten Tomatoes was an 87%.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Which is not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Me personally, like my personal rating, I would have to give it a 10 just because it's one of my favorite movies. But in actuality, I'd probably also give it a 9 out of 10.
Yeah. But yeah, so thanks for listening. This was Media Mayhem talking about First Man. Hope you have a good day.
Bringing you out of your comfort zone on Offsite Insight.
All right, we are back. This is not the usual way we're doing this because, I'm the one starting this off. Haven't done this in maybe ever. I don't remember ever even doing this as the host, but we are back for Offset Insight for, I believe, what is our first real instance of it. I'm joined by Avery, who's going to be our guest for this. And I'm also joined by Dalton, my co-host.
Hi.
What I wanted to talk about, because it's coming up right now, actually, you were in the States competition for Skills USA last year.
Yes, I was.
And that is, I believe, as far as I remember, that was our first real off-site, pun intended, but our first truly off-site experience that a member of our crew, like at least our crew, had. I don't know about anything from the other week beforehand. I don't know if Brendan did anything previously, but I wanted to kind of pick your brain on the whole experience, what led into it, what came out of it, what you kind of discovered from transitioning from the classroom to being in a completely new city with a whole lot of people you do not know.
Yep, of course.
I'm sure that was fun. So, kind of easing our way into this, what got you interested in the initial SkillsUSA exam that takes place before States is even in the picture?
So that's really interesting, because I was told upfront about like the fact that it would lead into States and all these stuff. So I knew where it could lead and where it could go if I did well and did go on the exams. But it was mainly just like during my sophomore year, a big thing that I wanted to do was do as much as I could during the year. I really wanted to make sure I was getting as much extracurricular, like VPA-related stuff done as humanly possible. So I participated in like doing Movember with Brendan before that in SkillsUSA. So I was constantly looking for different avenues to sort of sharpen my multimedia skills and make sure that I was always out doing stuff if I could. So I was like, oh, another thing to do that relates to multimedia.
Just
sure,
doing side quests.
Let's do it. Yeah, I wanted to get as many side quests completed as I could that related to multimedia because I was like, well, if I want to get really good at it, then I might as well do as much as I can and basically take every opportunity that was offered to me. So that's just what I was consistently doing that year.
And SkillsUSA just kind of
fell into my lap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he was just like, hey, Brendan needs at least one other person to compete with. I was like, I'll do it. And then I dragged you two along as well. So I was like,
yeah. Sure. And then we both failed miserably. Or at least I think so.
Yep. I think it's weird.
What height is the sun at 3 p.m. in Georgia
that
or whatever
is
that
such
question
an odd
was?
Question.
That question was so strange.
It is quite peculiar.
So kind of continuing from that exam, did moving up from the exam to actually getting to go to States, did that come as a shock to you, or were you kind of like going into the exam, were you kind of thinking the like, I got this, I'm almost guaranteeing myself I'm going to States? Or was it kind of, were you more doubtful and then you being able to go to States was more of an actual surprise to you?
My confidence was high, but I did temper my expectations. Like, I wasn't like, oh, yes, I'm going to go into this and definitely going to... I did that this time, and I didn't end up going, funnily enough. But I initially
I think
went
all three
like,
of us did that.
Yeah, I was
like... all three of us were like, oh, well, we've done this before. We got this, and none of us got it.
Yeah, like, but generally, I was like, I'll temper my expectations, but I think I can do pretty well. I feel pretty confident in my abilities in multimedia. And then I got into it, and I was like, holy crap, that's really cool. And, like, it was a weird experience to, like, walk into school, like, one day and be at the end of my day and just be, like, going through the normal motions. And then, like, I think my gym teacher, Coach Standard, he came up to me. He was like, yo, you got in the States for skills. Good job, kid. You got, like, second place or something in, like, the state. And I was like, what?
What?
Like, yeah. They're like, you got second place at this competition. I was like, oh, crap. That's really cool. So I was like, oh, that's neat. And then I did it. And then I, like,
more side quests.
I heard more about it. Miss Conan showed up. She was like, oh, you're going to States. I was like, oh, that's really cool. And then I, like, learned a bit more about that. And what it entailed, and I was like, oh, this is some high stakes stuff. And she was like, well, you don't have to go if you don't want to. And I thought it over a little bit. I was like, do I want to go? Do I not want to go? And I was like, yeah, I want to go. I want to do this. This sounds fun.
Your side quest grew another side quest.
Yeah, I was like, sure, let's just keep
it
going.
Let me do this test. Oh, I'm going to a different city, huh?
Yeah, that was an odd experience to do that, but I'm sure you'll be asking more about that later. But yeah, so that was really cool.
All right, I got a question for you. What was the States competition actually like?
Yes, so the fun part. It was, unfortunately, a lot of sitting in this really big conference hall in very uncomfortable shoes because you have to wear the red blazer and everything the whole time. It looks cool, but it can be really uncomfortable when wearing it for a long time. But that wasn't the worst part. The worst part is I had to wear dress shoes everywhere.
I mean, yeah, reasonable.
Yes, but outside of that, so when I got... We took the long drive. We got to the hotel. We did everything that night. The hotel was fun. It was great. Hanging out with people, doing silly stuff. But then it was like the actual competition itself was the second day, and it was a lot of every night we would basically go out to this conference hall, and then there was like some cool stuff outside, and then we would go in. We would get like a long talking to. I fell asleep. And it was basically like you would pay attention, you would do the thing, you would listen to the people talk about like how great Skills is and what it's useful for, and like it is great. And everything, but like
shameless plug.
Yes, they
for 3 hours.
It is very long. It is a very long
shameless
conference.
Plug for 3 uninterrupted hours.
It was at least what felt like the length of a movie. Like it felt like a
one
very
movie of just someone talking.
Join yes. Skills USA.
Yes, but that wasn't the important part. The important part was that then the next day I got to go to the competition, and the competition was stressful but awesome. So I get there and I basically we're like okay. Go to your stations. I go to my stations. We unpack. We get everything set up, and they're like, "Go!" We just get everything unpacked, and you're just ready to go. So, me and Brennan work. He's like, "All right, I'm gonna do some editing. You do some filming." So I go out. I do some filming, and then like intermittently throughout the competition, we like swap on and off, and we get the editing done and the video package sent in. Like, genuinely, still pretty proud of that, even if it didn't score super well, because I think this. We did do it sort of like
not to the rubric.
We did it news-like, so we didn't know how to score the rubric correctly.
I do kind of want to interject.
Yeah, what?
Did they give you a like template or a prompt to go off of, or was it basically just make a video package?
It was basically make a like ad for Skills. It was basically just make an ad, like film an ad for Skills.
And that's like the only direction they gave you was just make an ad,
primarily
video package style.
Yeah, so we go through this ad, we make the ad, we're relatively proud of it. We do, you have to do like a little post-game interview afterwards with the judges. We do it, they give some pretty good advice, but overall they're like, actually, this is probably one of the best ones we've seen all day, especially the script. The script is actually really good.
It's just it didn't fit the rubric.
It didn't fit the rubric very well, so I don't think we scored very well, because they don't score too much on graphics, they score on a lot of other things. I'm pretty sure, like camera technique and angles and stuff like that. But yeah, we get done with that, we're like, oh, that was done. And it was really cool. I think that night we got to like have like a party or everything like that. Oh, the food at the hotel was phenomenal. I want to make that clear. It was really good. Just a quick side note. But then so like,
I mean, hey, it's part of the States competition. It was a part of that whole experience.
Yep. And then the next day we, I think so. The big so we basically packed up everything. We had our breakfast, and then we immediately went to the conference hall to do the award show. I didn't win anything. It was very long since we had video production. We were like the last thing.
Yeah, because it goes alphabetical.
Yes, it does go alphabetical. But so we did that. We got through the award show. It was as long and drowning as you think an award show is. It wasn't like terrible or anything, but it was definitely an award show. And there were no new game reveals either, so that wasn't fun.
Well, believe it or not, you were not at a game reveal show.
I was not at the Game Awards, unfortunately.
You were at the Skills USA Awards, where you won nothing, and no new games were announced.
No new games were announced. The PS3 has no games.
Infinite Skills USA or no games.
Yep. But so
and no games.
And then immediately we just hit the road and left. And then I got home that day. So it was relatively brief for how like cool and important it was. But I did enjoy my time a lot, especially getting to hang out and talk with people and, besides the competition, just getting to, like, hang out and do a lot of fun things. Like
I do feel the need to ask, how drained were you after the competition? Like, physically or mentally?
Physically, yes. Mentally, not as much. But yes, physically, it was, like, very demanding, especially as, like, the primary footage.
The main source of the physical draining, dress shoes.
Because, yes, I had to run around the... like actual building that it took place at a school, the actual thing, and I had to run around and gather as much footage as possible. So
in dress shoes the whole time.
Yeah, as the footage person, I had to do a lot of running around, but it was a very fun experience and very good.
All right, I just have another question. What was it like to be like the first person in our crew, at least like our week's crew, to like truly go off site for a large scale filming project?
It was surreal once it really set in. Talking more with Chiquette about the just sheer like record, sort of the way I was sort of breaking the mold and breaking a record or being a first for the shop, being basically the first person, being within the first two people to go out and do a Skills USA thing for a completely new shop that year was insane. Like,
yeah, because you were like the representative. I was the representative. Video productions, because it was our first year of being a proper. It was either our first or second year being a proper CTE shop.
And we immediately got second place at a skills sanctioned.
At the district level.
At a district level event. Like, it was crazy.
Immediately second.
Immediately second. Like, immediately out of the gate.
We came out swinging.
We came out swinging. We went to States for, like, a big competition.
And then we whiffed this year.
Well, I did, but we still have a representative, Brendan.
Yeah.
Who's still going. So, yeah, we it was really cool to, like, after that set in to be like, holy crap, I did, like, a really cool thing for our shop. So it was cool.
Swung
to
and hit it out of the park.
Yeah, it was cool to be a representative for that.
All right, so to kind of wrap up, so we kind of alluded to it, but you also did, the three of us, we all tried to do the district level exam again junior year. But I wanted to ask specifically for you, because you seem the most ingrained in Skills SA, do you plan to continue with it through your senior year up to graduation?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you plan to do it even further after that?
Competitions, I don't think I can participate in those anymore, because I think there might only be high school level.
Yeah. I think I mainly mean, do you plan to like continue? Will Skills USA continue to be a part of your academic, your career? Like, will it be part of your life after high school?
I do not think so, if I'm being entirely honest. I do love the work that I do here, but I feel like that's mainly not necessarily about Skills. It's about the community that Skills brings to the school primarily, and how great that is for a high schooler. No shame to anybody who continues with it afterwards, but if I don't find myself in like the high school setting, like let's say I do become like a video production teacher, which would totally be something I would do if I find that I have like a spark for teaching. I would continue with Skills to bring that sort of community to vocational schooling and stuff like that. But I think what it brings is more important than what it is, at least for me. It has been way more important to be like, this has brought me great community and great experience through Skills. And that what that is phenomenal. But it's not something that's like, oh, yeah, I love the fact that it is Skills. And
the fact that like the pros of the idea outweigh the idea itself.
Exactly. Yeah, I would agree. That is the way I would put it.
I mean, I think to say anything for you specifically, I think you're probably one of the best representatives we have for, because I say it's like it's you and Brendan. I think that's like that is probably the top two for multimedia from Taconic. For Skills USA States, possibly up to even nationals at some point.
Oh, you're making me blush.
But it's true, because, I mean, it's been clear from the get-go that you've wanted this.
Yes.
It has been very clear from the get-go. So, like, props to you for being able to take that and use it.
I couldn't have done it without you two.
but props to you for being able to take that and bring it outside of this, like, very small scale district level operation and take it to like the wider state of Massachusetts, possibly even nationals someday.
Of course. Would love to do that next year.
Yeah. That would be sick. I wonder how that would go down. We gotta all try and all three of us get in just so we can go to nationals. Just so we can go down. We gotta absolutely lock in.
Each of us gotta just pick, so we can each go of us to gotta nationals. Pick a current freshman to be like, we're gonna take them. We each gotta be like, one of us three teams gotta get in. One of us three teams.
It's got to be one of us.
Got to be one of us.
If we swing three times, they always say third time's a charm.
Oh, they always say third
time. Maybe it'll be
the
first or second, though.
Yep.
All right, so that is going to do it from us. Thank you, Avery, for being here to talk about your experience.
No problem. I always love talking about the Skills USA competition.
And yourself.
Yep.
All right. Now to our next segment.
Coming to a theater near you, the interview.
All righty, and I am here with Audrey Aristio, and we are going to be talking about the music video you made and sort of how local business plays into that. Would you like to sort of, let's just jump in and talk about like what made you want to create the music video and song?
Oh, yeah. So I made the song They're Building a Starbucks a couple of years ago, basically out of frustration surrounding the corner lot in downtown North Adams being bulldozed. It used to be a Catholic church. I don't know if you knew that. It was torn down in like 2016, and that church had been there for like 150 years. Many of the older North Adamsite people remember it. Regardless of how you feel about Catholic churches, you know, it was beautiful architecture.
Yeah, I care about the history.
And it
primarily
was history. Exactly. And, you know, people went there for services, and that was part of their community. So the shift from that into a, like, corner lot to drive-through plaza in an already crowded and drive-through intersection with two drive-throughs already with there's the McDonald's, there's the Dunkin' Donuts. As I mentioned in my song. So mostly I was frustrated that we as a community had no power around the construction of a very car-focused parking lot and plaza with businesses that were not necessarily going to impact the community in a positive way.
So talking more about like local businesses and community building and stuff like that. So you've worked a ton of local business jobs. And how has your experience with that been? And how does that play into the music video?
So, yeah, definitely. It definitely plays into the music video what my personal experiences have been. My first job that was not like a work study job at my college was at the Beverly Historical Society in Beverly, Massachusetts, where I went to college. I went to Montserrat College of Art over there. I graduated in 2022. And in working for the Historical Society, it started as an internship. I was doing a map of their oldest cemetery, and then that turned into a job. So I had relationships with the people who worked there. I had a relationship with the director of the Historical Society, and I continue to have a relationship with the current director of the Historical Society. She has accessioned pieces of my artwork into the collection because they're Beverly-focused, I might be working with her to, like, preserve some of the old books in the collection, which is really awesome. So that relationship continues. And that sort of originally shaped like how I felt about my labor, what I'm doing, how it's impacting people, and what matters to me in terms of like what I'm doing with my life and how it impacts people positively around me. So with the history bit, that was direct, easy for me to see how that was impacting people. When I moved to North Adams, I was excited to work for Mass MoCA, which is, many people I'm sure know, the Contemporary Art Museum in North Adams, kind of the premier contemporary art museum in Massachusetts, hence its name. And I worked as a museum attendant, so I was a guide. I was doing, like, tours. I was doing, well, not really tours, but, like, standing in one place and talking about the art around me was kind of the thing. I'd be posted. I would be, like, having conversations with people, telling them where the bathroom is, that sort of thing. And I felt like that used my art degree in a way that made sense. But later into my time there, I started to feel a little bit more like the actual experience of working for the art museum was not what I wanted, because my relationship with the management was, and other departments, was kind of severed. There was no communication between departments, there was no communication with management directly, and the people who were in between situations where they had to talk to the people on the floor and talk to management were kind of being squeezed in a way that wasn't fair. So I didn't feel like my impact was really felt in the way that I wanted. Then I moved into food service. I worked at Tunnel City Coffee, and that was kind of a mom and pop situation when I started working there. And mm-hmm. that felt good. That felt like, okay, I'm making food for people, and people come here to have community with each other and talk to each other and meet up for coffee and lunch and whatever. And that also, that business has also moved into a little bit more of a corporate kind of feel. And I left because I didn't feel like I wanted to work in an environment like that. And finally, now I work at Hexagon Bagels on Main Street in North Adams, and my relationship with the public is amazing. I see people that I know all the time.
I went.
You went.
I went.
You Yay. Went. You I, had lox. It yes, was delicious.
It was so good.
And the owners of Hexagon Bagels, Nick and Patrick, are amazing people. They engage directly with their community. It's not performative. It's real. They really want to feed people. They really want to make good food. And they try really hard. And they're working 14-hour days. Like, the bosses are working 14-hour days.
Yeah, I met Nick, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a super sweet guy. I could definitely tell that he put effort into his job and did care about working alongside his employees and not just being like some overseer, I like counting money. That's my favorite activity.
Exactly. Like, there's a big difference between a boss that actually works next to his employees and a boss that refuses to because of some idea of what a hierarchy should be.
Mm-hmm.
And when at Hexagon Bagels, I feel like my voice is heard. I feel like my feelings matter. And, you know, I feel like the money is not the most important thing. So those experiences directly fed into my music video because, I mean, at the time I was working as a barista, so it was kind of funny that it was going to be a Starbucks in that space. But especially with, like, the contrast between when I worked at Tunnel City and I felt like my voice mattered in certain ways, like at the beginning of my time there, a barista at a Starbucks would not have that experience necessarily. Like, it would be a franchisee, and like owner operator kind of person. And there would be absolutely no connection to the actual management of Starbucks. The people who work in the Starbucks, I mean, there's a reason why Starbucks have had all over the country unionized. Yes, exactly.
And tons of boycotts, tons of Starbucks has been probably the corporation I would first think to when you talk about, like, what are some corporations that have had controversies and worker issues and all of these things? First thing that come to mind, McDonald's, Starbucks.
Exactly.
Enough, both the ones that
are right there in that intersection.
Spend a lot of money to Israel and right there in that intersection. Mm-hmm. First of all, the thoughts and opinions expressed by me and my guests are that of ours alone. These do not represent WTBR or PCTV or Takana TV or anything like that. They are just our own.
Are you supposed to say that at the beginning?
I can say that whenever I want.
Great.
Yeah. But yeah, so when we're talking more about like working with local businesses and all the things that they've done sort of like wrong and sort of where you're talking about where we need our employers and bosses to be actively community building and in that space and supporting it rather than just the money fizzling out into
leaving the community and like going to the big guys on top. I mean, in my perfect world, the work situations would not be hierarchical at all. We wouldn't have, quote-unquote, bosses. We would all be working in tandem with each other. Worker cooperatives are a great example of that. There aren't a lot of examples around. I know that there's, I think, Downtown Sounds in Pittsfield. That's not Pittsfield, I'm sorry. In Northampton is
there is a work co-op in Pittsfield, I believe.
There is?
There is. I believe it is King Cone. I remember seeing signs outside that were like worker co-op in development. I was like, that's awesome.
Heck yeah, man. That's awesome. When Tunnel City changed ownership, some people were talking about making it a worker co-op, but unfortunately that didn't happen. And so, you know, now we have the impact of that being felt by people that I talk to at Hexagon, where they're like, I recognize them as some of my old regulars, and they're like, wow, it's really changed at Tunnel City. It doesn't feel like the community-oriented place it used to be.
So would you say that like a lot of people who feel that it isn't community oriented are like immediately basically pulling back and sort of finding their way back to more community oriented spaces and more locally owned businesses?
I like to think that that's the case because it feels like they come to Hexagon, they're like, I haven't been here before. And then they feel it immediately, like this is what it's supposed to be like. At least that's some of the conversations I've had with people where I talk about Nick and Patrick and I talk about my experience working there. And then we talk about Tunnel City and our shared experience of Tunnel City, them as a consumer, me as a barista. And we come together and we're like, yeah, this is, you know, this is how we feel about it. And then I see them again at Hexagon. So, you know, I feel like some of those people are my regulars again, but in a different place where maybe they feel more comfortable. And I definitely feel more comfortable.
So looking more at like your stake as an artist, what are some places that we can find you or where would you put out more newer work?
So I have a website that is under development, but it still has my portfolio. So if you want to see some of my stuff, it's audreyaristeo.art. That's AudreyAristeo.art. And I also have an Instagram where I post more recent work, and that's AudreyCelestes.art on Instagram. That's pretty much it because I'm not engaging with social media a whole lot, but yeah.
Alrighty. Thank you so much for coming on this podcast and talking with me a little bit about what's it like to do local businesses and create art. Do you have any last things you want to end on?
I just want to thank you so much, Avery, for having me on. And I hope that you and all of your creative peers can find your way in this chaotic world.
The Challenge, where we tackle insurmountable odds.
All right, so we did a thing. We did.
We did a thing.
We did a thing. We did, in fact. We have no Ollie this time. No.
No.
We couldn't get her in time, so it's just us for now. But
dang you, health tech.
Yeah. But we went over to her house over spring break, and we baked a cake. I didn't mean for that to rhyme.
We did
bars.
Bake a cake.
We did bake a cake.
We baked a cake.
We baked a cake.
We baked a cake. If you could call it that.
With cake mix.
Yeah.
If that discredits it.
Yeah.
Well, you got to remember that we also were doing the See No Evil challenge, so we couldn't. I could see no evil. He couldn't talk.
I couldn't hear.
You were deaf.
I was listening.
And Ollie didn't have arms.
I was listening to
me. We lopped our arms off of the challenge.
Magnolia Park. I'm not paid by them. Just stream Magnolia Park because they're good.
If I had a nickel for every time you said that, I'd have two nickels, which means you need to stop saying it.
That's good.
I thought you were going to do the full bit, and you just stopped there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, without further ado, let us go to that wild experience.
All right. Hello. And on this episode of the challenge, we're going to be doing what's called the See No Evil challenge, where one of us has one of our senses removed, and Olivia here has no arms as well. So that's what we're going to be doing, and we'll get back after the setup. I'm deaf.
Okay. I can't use my arms.
And I'm blind!
Dalton!
Make the guy just mute read and dyslexic. It's a great idea.
You should do the Crisco in the pan.
Get a spoon.
No! Hands! Put your hand in the Crisco, take some out, and
you can hear, get a spoon, start putting that in there.
You can hear, okay. Get a spoon.
I'm swiping my face card.
You know what a spoon does.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you
I thought
put
was
your hand on it.
I thought this guy like got a spoon and just went.
You can put your hand on it. There you go.
Great job, buddy.
Just smear around the pan!
You're failing really badly right now. You're not practicing any food safety here. I'm not eating.
He washed his hands.
Yeah.
When he used the bathroom, he washed his hands.
Yeah, he washed
We're
his hands.
We're fine.
You can
if anybody should be doing it, it's him.
Yeah, I also washed my hands before this. I can't use my hands, but I'm still I'm still stating the obvious. I washed my hands. Crisco is good for your hands. Just smear it around the pan.
This is such chaos already.
What the?
Can I help you, ma'am? All right, this guy can't hear anything. I'm trying to talk to bro. He can't hear me. He's too busy listening to Miku or whatever.
Okay, I think it should be good. Wash your hands.
This is gonna be the make dog do everything game, isn't it?
I can do some things, I just can't see what I'm doing.
I'm gonna make you stir.
I can actually crack eggs though, I know how to do that, so I can do that if you need to.
Please don't crack the eggs. Over here, so I'm not right next to the oven.
No.
I'm going away from the oven!
I guess I'm gonna stay next to the oven.
I'm staying away from the oven. I can't see. If I do this and I fry my hand.
It's not even open.
Okay, the glass would still be hot.
No. No.
Okay, you have a different oven then. Well, you have like a heat resistant oven.
Okay. Towel. Do I have to literally walk you through everything? I have no idea what you said.
I think I heard I'm fine. Other than that, no. Okay, so he's not fine.
Man, the silent film's really good.
Okay.
Slowly poke my way through.
Do charades with Avery.
Yeah,
I'm gonna walk you through it.
Microwave.
And you tap
on I'm in right there.
Avery
yes.
needs to read the stuff on the box.
Yeah, I can read it. Yeah, no problem. Alright, so, gotta set the oven to 350, we already did that.
Yep.
For bake, we gotta put, so the bottom of the side of the pan with pan, okay, you put the baking thing on it. We gotta put the cake mix, water, eggs, and oil into a large bowl on low speed until moistened, about 30 seconds. At medium speed for we gotta beat it at medium speed for 2 minutes, and then we gotta pour it into the pan and bake immediately.
What is medium speed?
Also for the cake mix, water, eggs, everything, we gotta blend that.
Yeah.
Sure, go for it, dude.
No, Aiden's gonna start.
Yeah.
It's so hard not having hands, especially since I'm the one that bakes.
I don't have
All right,
eyes!
So get cake mix, water, eggs, and oil into a large bowl.
Okay.
Into a large bowl?
Yeah, the bowl right here.
Don't
so I'll do the eggs. Yes. Does it tell us how many eggs we need? We need 3. Okay, cool. Do you think I can put the eggs in first, or do you think we should put them in the step-by-step guide? All right, so we should put the cake mix in first, probably, then.
All right, open the box.
Yeah. I'm going to wash my hands. Where's the towel to wash, like, dry my hands? Thank you. I know I was messing up the camera shot.
I feel like I have the worst inhibitor here, considering the fact that this kitchen is so small.
It's fine.
I'm gonna headbutt the oven at some point.
We're playing the kitchen dance. We just have to, like, move around each other.
There's 4 people in a kitchen that's about 3.5 square feet.
It's fine.
And one of us can't see.
It's fine. It's pink.
It's a girl!
Wait, we need
water. We're baking a baby girl.
Oh, where's the
one cup?
Where'd the memory cup go?
Poured? Is the water already poured? It's right there. Okay, cool. Pour it. And then I need to crack the eggs.
Okay, Aiden.
Yep, eggs. 3. So
walk just forwards a bit.
I can somewhat see. I
this is a flat surface.
It's okay. Right there.
Never mind,
it's
never
here.
Mind. Never mind. Go backwards.
Okay.
I just need flat surface. Alright, so it's gonna be like.
There you go.
Do I place with the eggs?
There.
Got it. Thank you. Alright, cool, but I don't want to wash my hands.
Table. Now what? Okay. I have something. I think it's a whisk. It's bowl.
Wait, we need oil. That. Oil for that silver thing right there. Salt in.
I can't see what's going on. I'm heavily concerned.
Dolan!
I'm just holding a whisk.
He got oil on the ground.
This idiot! At least you can see what you're pouring. Yes! Yes, you can!
Dolan! Hold on. This is really painful. Remind me to never bake with you guys again.
I'm blind! We would probably be doing a lot better if we could see, or hear, or talk.
Mm-hmm.
Am I good to whisk or not?
Yes.
Okay. Bull.
Yes.
I don't know how well of a job I'm doing at this. I at least hear cake batter mixing. That's a good sign. The batter smells good.
Does it?
It's a good sign.
I don't know. I'm not gonna, like, shove my face into cake batter.
Do you see me doing the same? I'm just standing near it.
Okay. I think it's okay. It looks okay.
Mm-hmm.
Am I good?
I think
No. Okay. We good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Avery should pour it into the bowl. Not the cake pan.
This is Avery. I'm right next to you.
Uh-huh. I can tell.
Do you want me to pour that in?
Mm-hmm.
Can tell by the blaring music.
Maybe take the
There's no
out.
Real lip that the bowl has.
That's fine.
Don't spill everything everywhere.
Also, be careful with the oil.
You should bake it, because you have all of your senses except speaking.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Are we ready to pour it?
Mm-hmm.
I poured this bad, but it's fine.
Dalton. In the top drawer, right behind you, right behind you, there is spatulas.
There you go.
And use that to wipe the bowl.
Maximum cake, because, like, when it's done, we're gonna, like, eat it.
Yeah,
so
maximum cake.
There you go. Again, be careful of the oil that you spilled.
This cake needs to be, like, decent at best. Should probably get out of the way of the oven, actually.
Yeah.
Seems like a good idea.
Yes. It's good to go.
I'm treating your oven like a rhythm game.
Where'd the timer go?
It said bake immediately, so we gotta put that on fast. You need a cooking glove. Dalton needs an oven mitt.
Behind Aiden.
Okay, now hang on, let me sneak through. Get away from the open oven.
25 minutes.
Starting now.
There's a timer right here, Dalton. Behind Aiden. Press start.
Alright.
I have to hobble like an 85-year-old man. Just make sure I'm not gonna, like, walk straight into the oven. Now we wait! The blind guy. Frosting the cake. Maybe. Hi. I can see somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I don't know how much I do at once. Can assume that. I can't see. What did I? Oh, did I put a hole in it? Ah, I'm blind. I can't see.
Oh no, the cake.
Mm-hmm.
We lost our deaf person. I'm gonna put that out there because we
the
picked up a spray.
The deaf guy is with the bum.
We picked up.
You don't have arms. You can't speak.
Mm-hmm.
The immediate silence that followed. Cake.
That frosting tastes disgusting.
Oh no. That sucks. That's like the reason I don't love cake. Is like most of the frosting.
How's the cake coming along? Oh, I wouldn't know because I can't see.
The poor cake.
How's it going?
It's a cake! Or is it? I don't know. I can't see it. It might be a cake. Could it be cake?
Is it cake? Oh, wait, I don't have arms. That's
real or cake? You try to do a hand signal. I can't see your hand signals.
I think it's frosted enough for as much as we can get frosting on it. Stop dying.
I'm Arthur Morgan, but blind.
You're destroying it more, don't.
I'm blind, sister.
I'm gonna grab cake plates.
Sister, you ever played a Five Nights at Freddy's? His bones rolling off.
Mm-hmm.
How's that cake coming off? Damn, that's a good looking cake. Maybe. I'm gonna go ahead and believe that that's a good looking cake.
Mm-mm.
I won't know until. Hang on, how's this cake look? By the Lord of. By Mother Mary! That's not a cake. That's a tumor.
Okay.
Yes. It looks like lobster.
I got the cake, please.
No. All right.
My mouth is so dry.
I think we're done with our whole inhibitor.
Okay, I got enough for Avery, Dawn, Eden, Jack's grandma. I don't want any because I don't like strawberries. Well, I like.
What is wrong with you?
I like strawberries, but I don't like anything tasted.
Like strawberries. Wait, it's like the artificial banana thing.
I don't like bananas.
Wait, I mean like it's the same thing.
Yeah, kind of.
It's like the whole like most people like bananas, but like no one likes artificial banana.
Yeah.
You're doing great, buddy. You're doing a great job.
A little slice for grandma.
Look at this plate work.
I say her name like she's everybody's grandma, but she might as well be this one.
That's good enough of a frosting job.
Alright, so we baked a cake. Was it successful? I'd say so. Do you think it was successful? Well, you can't taste the cake, so that's not your opinion to have.
Alright, so that was something.
Definitely was.
That was something that we... God, I wish we didn't do that.
It was fun, though.
That was...
Well, you couldn't see, so it was probably way less fun for you than all of us.
Yeah, because I didn't even get to see any of the funny stuff you guys did.
I didn't get to hear any of the funny stuff that was said.
Yeah, I got to do funny. Everything other than talk. I just went...
You're lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. This is already chaos.
Yeah.
All right, well, we gotta cut that off there. That was an experience. Kind of cheating a little bit because we don't have the wheel right now, but we already kind of knew what we wanted to do next. Next time on the challenge, we have the headphone challenge. I won't explain too much yet, but once we do this, I'll obviously explain the rules and what that means. But for now, you're left to guess your theories. Email us your theories.
Ponder your orbs.
TV@pittsfield.net. Email us your theories about what the headphone challenge is, and don't look it up, because if you do, you're a cheater, and I hate you. Hyperbolically.
Hyperbolically, we don't hate you. We love all our audience members.
Of course.
The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of are those of mine and my guests alone. They do not in any way represent Taconic TV.
Way.
Yeah, they do not in no way represent Taconic High School, Taconic TV Studios, WTBR, or
PCTV.
Yes, or PCTV. Oh boy,
I had to say that a lot.
All right. That is going to do it for this week's episode of Up on Taconic. I'd like to thank Avery, Dalton, and everyone who was involved with today's episode. For more from us here at Taconic TV Studios, check out the Thunder Report on the Taconic TV YouTube channel every Friday. We all hope you have a wonderful evening, and we'll see you next time on Up on Taconic.